Okay, it's great to be back. It's great to be back. Some people, I was talking to my wife, she says, this airplane stuff. I said, the next trip, you don't even want to believe what it takes to get there, just to Malawi. But you become a prisoner of an airline. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, but sometimes I look at it another way. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, there's one verse here. Verse 20. We know this verse, but we don't know it. For all the promises of God, and I love this, are in him, not in me, are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Father, thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In this portion of scripture, it actually gives you seven things that God says yes to. But I want to just have us think about three of them. Yes to the mind of God. Yes to the word of God. And yes to the promises of God. I say yes to God's mind. Yes to God's word. And yes to God's promises. And there's a verse that struck me. And it was John 21:25. If everything that Jesus ever did was written down, the world could not contain the books therein. That means we've got a lot to learn in eternity. That's amazing. Like the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And really, the promises of God, God's mind, God's word, and God's promises are all in him, yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. There was two particular passages on this trip in France that have been going through some things, and I had a great opportunity to meet and talk with them, you know, and it was really amazing because the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. We had an awesome time in France. We did a conference on the eternal and the personal God, that God is eternal and God is personal. A great response, great churches in southern France with a great vision. Pastor Luigi has a vision to go to Marseille and plant a new church in Marseille, and that's the drug capital of southern France, and just about that whole area, but he's going to get a team and go there, and I think it's going to be an amazing church, and really a great time in France with Pastor Johan and Pastor Jean Cartier, and really a blessed time. Then we went to Morocco, and little did we know that there's been a law passed that if you evangelize, it's 6 months to 2.5 years in prison. And that's the new law. If you convert somebody, it's death. That's an interesting law. We didn't know it at all. We gave out maybe 40, 50 Bibles, Jesus films, tracts everywhere. We were just talking to everybody right on the streets and in the middle of the crowds. And I said that the reason why is because we had a geriatric team. Between five of us, we are 360 years old. There's five of us. And, you know, when they look at gray hair, automatically, they don't even... Even if they thought you're doing something wrong, they're not going to bother you because you're just older and they respect age. So age can do something wrong if it wants to, you know. And it was amazing. I talked with one of the converts today. He's been calling us a lot. He said, me and my brother Mohammed, his name is, I don't even know how you pronounce it, Sofian. Sofian and Mohammed, they said, we just finished the book of Genesis. Is that right? And they're on their way to Exodus. And they really are excited. He told us that he led two other people to Christ yesterday. He said, rejoice because two other people have received Jesus and salvation. This guy is unusual. This guy is unusual. He didn't leave us for 3 days. He was just with us all the time and helping us in the evangelistic outreach. And I was just amazed at what God is doing. This is my fifth time in Morocco. And I'm really convinced that God has a plan for greater grace in the north of Africa. Because you've got Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia. You got the whole north of Africa that's really barren. You don't find any churches in places like that at all. You hardly find any believers, let alone a church that would be functioning. But you know what? God says all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So God's mind, I say yes to God's mind, yes to God's word, and yes to God's promises. And the promises of God are not to be looked at or to be determined based upon how I feel, what's going on externally, what I think the situation is, whether, oh, can you do this or can you do that? I don't know. I'm very glad that we knew nothing about any law, because maybe we would have had that in our minds, and maybe it would have hindered our leading to just do whatever we wanted to do. And it was incredible. It was an incredible open door. You have 99.9% that religion in that place, probably more than 99.9%. But a great and effectual door is opened unto us. And guess what? There are what? Many adversaries. But I like how that reads in the Greek language. A great and effectual door is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And it means that they're lying at the door. But you step on them as you step through into the door. Just put your foot right on top of any adversary, whether it's finances, language, whatever it may be, natural thinking, sight, whatever, you know, age. How old, you know, you're older, aren't you? Age, you know, and whatnot. But we've got the promises of God. And he's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. By these promises, they are great and they're precious and they're amazing. And 1 Kings 8:56, it says, not one word has ever failed from God's promise. Not one word has ever failed from the promises of God. Did God say go into all the world with the gospel? Did God say he can reconcile marriages? Did God say that he's going to protect and give our children, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it? Did God say that? What was that word you just said? Yes. Yes. Did God say he would be our Yahweh Jireh, our provision, Genesis 22:14? Yes. Thank you. Yes. Did God say his presence is in us and he will never leave us? Yes, yes. Forget that word no. It's going nowhere. Okay? No, 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 you know? No. You have a visa? Yes. I don't see it in your passport. You're not looking correctly. Look further in my passport. Oh, sorry, I gave you the wrong passport. Yes. Yes. God's vision is yes. God's word is yes. God's nature is yes. God's gospel is yes. The body of Christ is yes. The eternal purpose is yes. The life of God is yes. Yes. Healing is yes. And we take that yes and we go right into Budapest, and it was just nothing but yes, 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 Lord, yes. And it's very exciting. Doesn't matter if you're 70. We had a hard time keeping up with some of the older people. I don't want to say they're old. Older. Ask some of these people that were with us. They were like a little bit younger, like in their 30s and 40s. They were dragging behind. Hey, catch up. What's wrong with you? Because we have amazing energy from God. Amen. Yes. Quickened by God, Romans 8:11. What's the word? Yes. Yes. Faith in God, yes. Life in God, yes. Victory in God, yes. Answered prayer? Yes. People being reconciled, people coming to church in France and in Budapest. I think, I don't know how many people were there, but it seemed like there was one section where you could always walk in the place, and they had chairs there. There must have been 1,300 people there. I've never saw it so packed in my life. And that's a yes. That's a yes from God. Forget the no stuff, all right? I mean, no is for the devil, but yes, his promises are what? Yea and amen. Unto the glory of God. And I like the last two words because that brings us into the picture. All the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. We are participators. We are partakers of the divine nature. Father, thank you tonight. It's all yes. It's all yes. We believe God. Yes to the marriage. Yes to life. Yes to deliverance. Yes to healing. Yes to presence. Yes to power. Yes to a future with God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, would you stand for a moment, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. And this is, I'm thinking of young people. I'm going to share a little bit about that. But look at chapter 2, 1 John 2. Thanks, Pastor. Great word. And this is 15, 16, and 17. Read it out loud with me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, love not the world. And do you know what the world is? Do the best you can to tell your neighbor what is the world. Love not the world. Go ahead, talk to each other. What is the world? Love not the world. Okay. All right. Verse 16. Read it with me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Have any of you had a lust or a passion, a hot desire that happened, and after hours, days, weeks, or months, it was gone? Where did it go? Where did the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, where did it go? Anybody know? Bye-bye. Where did it go? Look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life. We could spend time on this list. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but that's not our message. Verse 17, read it with me. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Now, the world and the lust passes away, but he that does the will of God, imagine, the will of God abides forever. And what we do in the will of God abides forever. But many times we are short-sighted. We do the immediate thing. We do the thing that feels good. Okay, you may be seated. We have in the New Testament the love of the world. We also have the fear of the world. The cares of the world, the business of the world, the money of the world, the pleasures of the world, and also the desire to keep in step with the world, to conform to the world. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Well, you've had a good week, I am sure, at work, in your families, also today at work, and you make it here to the Wednesday night service in order to hear a word from God and have the Spirit speak to you, like we heard in the music and with the message from Pastor Shabelli, saying yes to the promises of God. Is that Garnett back there? Is it just, okay, Garnett, and your daughter coming home, and that's a beautiful thing. We're thinking about you, praying for your family and all of what's happening. And God is good, and we love you, and Ramir and Genesis. They're doing good. Now look at chapter 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of Pharaoh, not afraid of the king's commandment, not afraid of the university, not afraid of the police, not afraid of the social club, the golf club, not afraid of the political party, not afraid of the Communist Party, not afraid of the Nazi Party, not afraid of what the community says. Moses was simply, and his parents were not afraid when Pharaoh said, cast all the Jewish male children into the Nile River. Destroy all the male Jewish children. They are populating Egypt too much, too fast. Yeah, genocide, kill the male children. But they were not afraid of the king's commandment because they were people of faith. This is what I saw in Hungary as we gathered from 50 different countries and coming by some, one brother came from India, a group came from China, many from Switzerland, I think the biggest group ever from Switzerland. Paul and Latti are serving in Geneva and have made a big splash there. Many of the Hungarian pastors have shown maturity and growth, and we've seen God speaking and building us up and leading us in the faith. It was a manifestation of God through the week, and I want to say just Ula, who was on the team, Pivey, who's been on the team the whole time, and many, many people and many prayers that have resulted by faith in a beautiful work of God. So now look at verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, anybody know how old he was when he was come to years? He made a decision. He said, in effect, I am Jewish. How old was he? 40. When he became 40, he said, before maybe we could say, I am Egyptian. But now he comes to years and he goes, I am Jewish. The slaves in Egypt, I belong to them. I belong to that group of people. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it. I belong to the slaves that are building the cities for Pharaoh. I am one of them. This is an attitude of faith. When Moses came, when he became, and he was ready to be, the historians say that he was in the line to become Pharaoh. But historians say that he was in the line to become a Pharaoh, whenever that would be. But he goes, no. I don't belong here. I am of another kingdom. I'm different. No, I am different. Now, young people, many times they are shipwrecked. I want you to see that little phrase in 1 Timothy, because it has a context, 1 Timothy chapter 1, of shipwreck. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Some people, regarding faith, they put the faith away and they are shipwrecked. Now, this is a meditation for us. Shipwrecks. You know, the island of Bermuda has so much land is above water, but then there's a lot of land in the area that is underwater, but not much. It's like reefs. Reefs are there. And many shipwrecks there are in the island there, Bermuda. Many shipwrecks because you can't see what's under the surface. And this is how our young people are shipwrecked. They're shipwrecked by, you can't see the problem. You can't see the danger. You can't see what is What's the problem with my friends? Or what's the problem with what I am reading? What's the problem with what I am watching and listening to? I can do whatever I can. I'm a Christian. I can go anywhere, read anything, be with anyone. Now, Pastor Pete, I just want to make a comment about what you said today. Is that all right? I mean, I think you have no choice. But he runs a business up in Cecil County. And he talked about the problem of having good workers. And many of them are good workers, but when it comes to drug testing, he can't hire them. They are disallowed, or what's the word? They are disqualified because of drugs. And he said, you want to say it? Shout it out. What's the number? In 7 years, was it? In 7 years of business, 50 to 100 employees have been let go because they cannot pass the drug test. What? Good men with families? What? Good workers? Qualified people? That's what you said too, didn't you say? What? Many of them. Very good. Many of them very good. Very good. What's going on? Men now without jobs, disqualified, and it's not high level work, it's hard work, but they need money, they need jobs, they have families. What's going on? Shipwrecked. But it's under service. Who's telling them about the reef? Who's telling them about the world? And the love of the world, and the way of the world. Why in Budapest, and I want to say, give a shout out to the young people that I am with, and also I was so happy my daughter went, and she brought her 3 children, and so I had 3 grandchildren there, and my son Kyle jumped in, and he went over, and what an honor, and I'm so blessed, in tears. To think that young people decide by faith, to go by faith, because here's the difference. The love of the world is an immediate return. If you stay in Egypt, there's an immediate return. But the love of the Father, the return comes. Yeah, sometimes it is immediate. By the filling of the Holy Spirit and the satisfaction of your soul. But sometimes it is a walk of faith and you don't know where it will bring you or what the results are. But I want to say that celebration, the love feast over there in Eastern Europe, was after actually 40 plus years of investment on the mission field through many hundreds of people that made that possible at great cost and sacrifice that was based on a life of faith that decided that I believe in going to school, but it could be a man or a woman could say, I'm going to live by faith in what God says, and I'm going to follow him with all my heart. And in this particular case, it means I'm going to go to Bible college, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to go to a foreign country and share the message where it needs to be heard. And one of the things we heard a lot from the pastors in our pastors' meetings was, we're doing the best we can. We're very thankful. But is there any possibility for some people to come and help us? Is there a possibility? And we would say, you can pray for that. Let's pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. There is the reef of drugs, reef of women, girls, reef of popularity and acceptance and fitting in, the reef of conformity to the world, because it's a hard thing, but Moses did it. Because I'm Jewish, period. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm a Jew. You know, take it or lump it. Lump it or take it or whatever that thing is. You know, you can lump. I could care less about you people. I could care less about what you say about me or what you think about me. That's hard for young people. But no, it isn't. When you have the Holy Spirit and you're living by faith, you can take it. I'm not ashamed. I am edified in the inner man and built up that way. Now go to Hebrews 11. It gets even better in verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. To suffer. Oh, when do we ever hear that in our day and age? Suffer. When do we ever hear, when are they ever teaching in the local high school the students about suffering, about denying ourselves, about controlling our emotions? Look at all the leaders of the world have sown. Pastor Toll said this. He said, Sweden was known to be such a great country, but the leaders have, in effect, and these are my words, removed God and sown with their own decisions. And he said, now the country is different from what it used to be. Now we are reaping the bad decisions of our leadership. But that doesn't faze us because we are born to be in this world of another nation, of a different kingdom. We are born to live by faith and have the love of God in our hearts. And by the love of God, we find this new kind of reward, not the lust of the flesh, but the love of God, the love of the Father that is not in the world. Verse 25, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, I want to emphasize that word, enjoy, like just lap it up like a dog, just enjoy. The pleasures of sin for a season. It's only the high is only for a season. And I have talked to some of the drug addicts that have done it. It just consumes their whole life. They live in Dundalk. They're thinking they got to drive down to the city into the make cop the drug, go back out, take it. They go to work. They work, and they just, it's incredible bondage. They cannot keep their mind on anything other than that. It's a bondage. It's something destroying their life. They are shipwrecked. They cannot find their way out. They are in bondage. And it needs to be described clearly to young people and to older people alike. It's the same with alcohol. I could get very emotional about it and angry about it. I have zero tolerance. It is not my friend. It is my enemy. It destroys me. It's the same with men that fool around with women and they do all of that. That is your enemy. Mark it down. It is your enemy. It is a destroyer of your soul. It is a shipwreck. What's lacking? Faith. You turn the TV off by faith. One greater grace pastor in Finland told me when he got saved, he was drinking all the time. And he was a professional guy. And he had hundreds of euros worth of alcohol in his cabinet. And he went right there and he just poured it all down the toilet. Everything, all, every drop of it. How did he do it? By faith he did it. He made a decision by faith. You walk away from friends by faith. Yes, friends. They're not my friends. I walk away. You're not nice, Pastor Shal. You're not a nice. I am not. I walk away from them. I am not. I will have a better ministry by walking with God than walking with them. I walk with them, we'll all go to hell. I walk with God, I won't go to hell, and maybe some of them won't go to hell. You walk with God. You make your decisions. How? By faith. That's how we live. You stop. You don't smoke marijuana. You don't do it. How do you get out of it? By faith. How do you stop it? By faith. How do you never get into it? By faith. I know people who never touched it, and they haven't missed a thing. Well, they didn't get the experience. The pleasure, the joy for what? Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Not once. I said somebody and told them in Europe, I go, I cannot take one drink because you think I take one drink and I will still be the same person here. I just take one drink, it won't affect me. How do you know that? That's a stupid line of reasoning. That's ridiculous. I'll have one affair with a woman and I'll be the same guy over here that knows it's wrong. How do you know that? That one thing can change you. That can change you. You crazy? That one thing can change you. You don't do it one time. You have nothing to do with it. How do you make that decision? By faith. You decide by faith. Because holiness is the greatest thing going on in this world. And it is holiness is where you get your joy and your great pleasure deep in your heart. And what did we have over there? We had in Hungary a love feast with friends, like with Pastor Brian and Paula and the family and the missionaries and Doug Jansen and Pivey and many Finns and the Hungarians and the Russians. And they say, many people say to me, how do you know our names? Because I know about 1,000 people by name, honestly. How do you know? How do you remember our name? I go, I don't know. I don't know. I remember you. I know your name. Even after 20, long time, years, sometimes a name comes to my mind and I guess. And I say the name and they go, no, it's not. No, it's not my name. And sometimes I'm right. You know, I'm just saying, how can we love each other so much that makes an impression that you carry with you and you say, I don't know. I like to sit with my sisters and brothers in the presence of God. And the holiness of God has knitted our hearts together. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. And the riches of his grace, 6 times in the book of Ephesians. Riches of God's grace. The riches of God, the exceeding greatness of his love toward us. These adjectives. Okay, we'll finish up. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. You have a high regard for the reproach of Christ. What's another word? High regard for being ashamed, embarrassed, connected with him. High regard for the fact the world hates him. High regard for, I kind of like the whole idea that this crummy world that is lying day and night, that is destroying people and murdering people by the millions, this crummy world that is devouring the souls of men and by all kinds of vices and destructive. You think that, what was the number, Pastor Pete? The 50 to 100 or something? Okay, they were not hired, or they quit, or they were fired, and I have 50 to 100 of them, and you think that I'm supposed to love the world? Huh? What is the world? The world crucified Christ. The world lies night and day. They lie continually. By all means, they hate God. They hate Christ. I mean the spirit of the world, the satanic system of the world. It is, why would I love the world when it's the biggest ripoff in the world? Can't you see it? It is a huge ripoff. How about a man who has sex with some woman and the next day he's just, you know, what is that? Like, who does he have any, what is it? It's like over. Are you satisfied? Who are you? Do you have any love? Do you actually care? Do you have any depths in your heart? Do you have anything in your life? You're an empty person. You understand what I'm trying to say? Love not the world. It is not your friend. But if you have the love of God, now you got something. You got somewhere to go. You got something that's going on, and you have it as the life of faith. Look at verse 26. Esteeming, I considered the cross, the reproach of Christ, the fact they kicked him away, they spit on him, the fact that they rejected him. I found it to be greater riches that I am connected with him than the treasures in Egypt. I'd rather go out in the sand and the hot burning desert and be with God and be with the riches of Egypt and be buried in a pyramid with a lot of gold all around me and mummified and try to preserve my body. And there I am in a pyramid. I'd rather be in a sandy, hot desert with God than have the promise of being buried in a pyramid. It's the best the world can do for you on your deathbed. They'll bring out the photo album. Look at the picnic you had. Wasn't that a fun time? Look at the corn on the cob. And you're on a dying bed. Remember when Eddie played his clarinet at graduation? And you're on a dying bed. Is that the best? Is that what we're talking about? Emptiness? Words, games, sex, drugs, lying, cheating, and you and I love the world. Yeah, we do. The only way out of it is Christ, and it must be by faith in him. And then you have another death that you're lying and dead. You say, John 11, verse 26, didn't he say, he that believeth in me shall never die? He said that he that is dead believes in me, he shall never die. Believest thou this? And how about crossing over the Jordan River and being on the other side, like in Bunyan's story, The Pilgrim's Progress? I'm trying to say that I had an impression when I was over there, and I could in tears thank God for Pastor Stevens and his labor in the Bible and teaching us line upon line and teaching us how to live and how to pray and how to serve and how to go, and then to be able to carry it on, and then to see the shipwrecked lives that are destroyed on the reefs that are underwater. I never saw that, Pastor. I didn't see it coming, but I have AIDS. I went out and had a life of sex, and now I have a disease. I never saw it coming. And also now I'm out in the street, and I never saw it coming. Or contrarily, I'm a good man. But why am I so empty? Why am I so strongly tempted? Why do sometimes I want to take my life? Why do sometimes I want to blow it all off and could care less about a damn thing? Why? Guys, you don't have the only answer. It's God. And if you love the world, you'll be let down, all pass away, be nothing. But if you have the love of God in you, then you have everything. And you'll be able to live by faith and be very bold at it. Be very bold at it and preach the gospel on the streets of Europe. And not hesitate. Be out there and let them shame you and spit on you, lie about and ridicule you. Then behind the little thin layer, there's some young man that's saying, thank you for coming. I need this. Talk to me again. I have seen it happen. I can give you the names of people where that happened. The names of people where that happened. And by faith they left Egypt, not caring or fearing the wrath of the king, where they found a new life. And that is our heritage. And it says here, he had respect unto the recompense to the reward. The reward is coming. Don't hold your breath, but it's coming. Live by faith. The reward is coming. Gee, yeah, it's coming. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All right? Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we have found it to be, as Pastor Chevelli said, say yes to the promises. And we are saying we, Moses, lived by faith and did so much. Maybe some of the young people amongst us and the older folks as well. We saw Bob Colbin and Chrissy, and they're having a great time over there in France. Many team members in different places and various people living by faith. Sometimes many of us remember returning after a conference with Pastor Stevens in Europe, driving back through Europe, back home, and start assembling in our small church at 10, 20, 30, 50 people, and building up ourselves and saying, I'm doing this by faith and I'm not quitting. I'm not backing off. I'm going to believe God's hand is here. I'm going to believe this is valuable. I'm just going to keep going by faith. And as it happened, then we saw the hand of God again and again. Save one, change another, edify another, make another disciple, send out another missionary, and labor in a field where it is white and where things are happening. Thank you, Lord, for this thought tonight. Anyone here has not started on your journey of faith, do it today. Say yes to Christ by faith in him. And you are born again. God is your Father. Talk to him like your best friend. Christ is your interceder, your advocate, your best friend. The Holy Spirit is your counselor and your teacher. Your Bible is the mind of Christ. Read it, learn it, walk by faith in God. Make decisions by faith. Turn from your own way by faith. And don't be ashamed or embarrassed by your faith, but be confident in it and walk in it, because it has great recompense of reward. In Jesus' name, if you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time, raise your hand. Anyone? Here today, tonight, anyone at all? Yes, Lord, anyone at all? And then through this body, thank you for the prayers around the world in our lives of faith in Christ's name. Amen.